Oftentimes this psalm has been glamorized, or it's a source of maybe a sentimentality. Oftentimes you see this on the brochures in the funeral homes, the Lord is my shepherd, the 23rd psalm. And I've also at times wondered if people really appreciate what is in this psalm. And so it behooves us, by way of maybe a rather lengthy introduction, to bring to your attention three areas that I think are overlooked as we look at the 23rd psalm. And the first area of being overlooked is who is the author. And that is, it's David, of course. David. And if you look in Samuel for a moment, we'll get a little historic background about David, particularly his relationship to sheep. 1 Samuel 16 is where the prophet or Samuel came and had his oil filled with his horn filled with oil to anoint a new king after Saul's catastrophe. So he goes to Jesse and he asks to see all of his sons, as it was supposed to be anointing one of Jesse's sons. So let's pick this up at 1 Samuel 16:10. Thus Jesse made seven of his sons pass before Samuel. But Samuel said to Jesse, the Lord has not chosen these. In verse 11, and Samuel said to Jesse, are these all the children? And he said, well, there remains yet the youngest. And behold, he is tending the sheep. Then Samuel said to Jesse, send and bring him, for we will not sit down until he comes. It gives you a little picture of what David was doing as a young man. He was a shepherd of sheep. He knew all about sheep. And so it's very necessary for us this morning to understand a little about sheep, to understand this psalm. So it's my duty to educate you. And maybe David Houston could help a little, and Nancy, too, on this, but they'll say, well, you do it, Leo. But because they have sheep. But my dad had sheep for a while, and I observe sheep, and I still like to observe them. But David knew a lot more about sheep than probably all of us do. And then you look at chapter 16 of 1 Samuel, chapter 17, verse 32. This is the famous occasion, of course, in chapter 17, where David kills Goliath. But look at what he says here before that event to Saul. 1 Samuel 17, 32. David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail on account of him. Your servant will go and fight with this Philistine. Then Saul said to David, you are not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for you are but a youth, while he has been a warrior from his youth. But David said to Saul, your servant was tending his father's sheep, when a lion or a bear came and took a lamb from the flock, I went out after him and attacked him and rescued it from his mouth. And when he rose up against me, I seized him by his beard and struck him and killed him. Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, since he has taunted the armies of the living God. I like that. And David had a lot of practice in protecting the sheep. And when he came into that camp, and when the Philistine came out and roared, and all the army was trembling, that really bothered David. What's going on here? See. So David had an understanding of things. So David was talking here to us this morning, is talking here to us this morning, from a knowledge of shepherd-sheep relationships. And wonderful passages that Paul cites in Acts 13:23 that he quotes in the Old Testament, that David was a man after mine own heart, referring to God's testimony of doubt about David, who shall fulfill all my will. Okay, that gives a little background about David. We could say a lot more about David. In fact, there is actually a psalm that we're hearing in the Psalms. Turn to Psalm 78 a moment. This is a psalm of Asaph, a rather lengthy psalm. And at the end of this psalm, verse 70, Asaph says, under the inspiration of God's Spirit, he also chose David his servant and took him from the sheepfolds, from the care of the ewes, with suckling lambs he brought him to shepherd Jacob his people and Israel his inheritance. So he shepherded them according to the integrity of his heart and guided them with his skillful hands. All right, that's the author, David. Now, who is the shepherd? Now, many people would say, well, obviously, the shepherd here, as they look at this psalm generally, it's God. God is my co-pilot concept. A nebulous God. A force, or whoever is out there. That's what many people think as they would think of the 23rd Psalm, the Lord is my shepherd. But is that accurate? I think not. So let's look into the New Testament. Let's look to the famous chapter in John 10, where Jesus says he is the good shepherd. John, the Gospel of John, verse 10, chapter 10. We look at verse 2 to 4. Jesus here says, he who enters in by the door, he who enters in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name, and he leads them out. When he puts forth all his own, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. Jesus here telling the quality of the shepherd. And then down in verse 27. Actually, here we see in 27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, you see. But who do they follow? Well, in verse 14, it says, I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. And then in verse 15, even as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And so you have here the concept of the shepherd is Jesus Christ. In the same author writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit in his little letter of 1 John, chapter 2, he says these words, 1 John chapter 2, verse 23. Interesting verse here. Whoever denies the Son does not have the Father. The one who confesses the Son has the Father also. And so we cannot know God the Father unless we have God the Son. Whoever denies the Son does not have the Father. One who confesses the Son has the Father also. And so indeed you can see here that the truth of the shepherd I'm driving on is Jesus Christ, the Messiah, David's Lord, Psalm 110:1. And we go now to Mark. Let's listen to what Jesus had to say here in Mark chapter 12. We referred to this last week as we see that Jesus is now sitting at the right hand of God. And someday is coming again. Back to Mark 12:35. Here Jesus in his teaching He began to say, as he taught in the temple, how is it that the scribes say that the Christ is the son of David? David himself said in the Holy Spirit, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I put your enemies beneath your feet. David himself calls him Lord. So in what sense is he his son? And again, you see that question, the people staggered the people because he was pointing to himself that he was the Messiah, that he was the good shepherd. And then in chapter, let's go finally here in referring to Jesus' comments on this theme is Matthew 22. Again, a passage that helps us, as this time he's talking to the Pharisees, the Jewish leaders of the day, those who should know all about the shepherd and who he was, Matthew 22:41. Now, when the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them a question. What do you think about the Christ? Whose son is he? They said to him, the son of David. The son of David. He said to them, well, then how does David in the Spirit call him Lord? Saying, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I put your enemies beneath your feet. If David calls him Lord, how is he his son? You should get the connection. It's an obvious problem there. And verse 46, no one was able to answer him a word, nor did anyone dare from that day on to ask him another question. Because you see, he was proving from the holy scriptures of the Old Testament that truly Jesus is the Messiah. He is the good shepherd that David knew and that David was relating to here. And the third area of misunderstanding is not only who the author is, who the good shepherd is, but who are the sheep. Now, where you have sheep, you often have goats. And you don't have to be around a farm long to know that there's a big difference between sheep and goats. You know, quite a difference. And Jesus talked about the sheep and the goats, and the separation of the sheep and the goats. So we need to know who are the sheep. Let's go back to chapter 10. Of John, because here the Lord Jesus helps us to understand who the sheep are. John 10. It's always good to hear the rustle of pages of the scripture as we preach from them. Down in verse 27 of John 10. My sheep hear my voice, Jesus said, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give to them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. In fact, it's interesting in the next verse, 30, he says, I and my Father are one. And here you can see the sheep are those that know the voice of the shepherd. As opposed to other voices of other shepherds. Now, again, we're kind of handicapped here in our country. We do not do sheep herding. We actually do sheep herding here, but in the Middle East, they don't use the sheepdog technique as we would hear. The shepherd still walks out in front of the sheep, and the sheep follow. You can still see that today. And Jesus said, and all the people there knew that. And it's my duty to inform you that when Jesus says that my sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me, everybody knew what he was talking about. And so we have here who the sheep are with three characteristics They know the voice of the shepherd. They hear that voice. That is, they hear with the sense of not just of listening to the voice. This is important to understand that. Oftentimes with children, you know, the mother says, "Johnny," and Johnny hears the voice, but he does not listen. He does not respond. But here the concept is, in Jesus' teaching, is that they hear his voice with listening to it and responding to it, that voice of obeying. And so, and that's the next part here. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. They follow. There they are. They know the voice of the shepherd. They hear it in the sense of listening, and they follow. These are the sheep. Are you one of those sheep? Am I one of those sheep? Some people may be just a goat with a sign around them, "I belong to Jesus." No, that's not what this is about. We need to understand who are the sheep. Well, some time ago I ran across seven characteristics of sheep that somebody took the time to do, and they're excellent characteristics. And it also helps us to acknowledge our relationship if we are sheep. Number one, a sheep cannot guide himself. He has no sense of direction, is nearsighted, and must be led by the shepherd, analogous to a believer. A sheep, when sick, will follow anything. A sheep cannot cleanse himself. Only the shepherd can cleanse a sheep. A sheep is helpless when injured. A hurt sheep must be tended. Sheep are defenseless. Unlike dogs or cats, have not strong teeth and jaws or claws, cannot even heal their hurts by licking, as dogs and cats do. Sheep cannot find food or water. Must be fed and watered, led to pasture and still water by a shepherd. Sheep will not drink from muddied or running water. And the sixth one is, sheep are easily frightened. And seven, a sheep's wool does not belong to the sheep, but to the shepherd who owns it. Those are good concepts for us to reflect on as sheep. And so we've kind of laid some groundwork here. With that in mind, let's go back to 23rd Psalm and show how David so beautifully unrolls here, unfurls for us the flag of the shepherd's song. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Here we see that David is saying, "The Lord, my God, my Messiah, is my shepherd. He provides for all my sufficient needs." This word "want," of course, in our vocabulary today, is not quite as accurate. It probably would be better, "I shall not lack." We may want some things. I mean, like to have a new stereo, something that is more current in the electronic field. We may want a lot of things. We may need some new shoes, even though we have 5-10 pair. We use the word "need" rather loosely. But in Psalm 32, we see here that the apostle, or David again, 34 rather, Psalm 34:10 says, "The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they who seek the Lord shall not be in want of any good thing." There's a beautiful picture of what David is saying. Animals may lack and suffer hunger, but they who seek the Lord shall not be in want of any good thing. So David is saying that in a general way, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not lack any good thing. And then he goes on and he expands on that theme, using the analogy to the shepherding of sheep. He makes me lie down in green pastures. Now here the concept is, of course, of rest. Of rest. It's the idea of resting in the midst of plenty. The Hebrew word for pasture, this grass, this green grass, there's different word for different kinds of grass, and this is the luscious grass. This is the Lord makes him lie down in green pastures where he can rest knowing that he has plenty. The idea of resting in God completely. He is indeed our source of rest. Remember how Jesus said, peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world gives, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled. Neither let it be afraid. See, that's the kind of rest that David is pondering here. Then he makes also not only sure of rest, but he also provides me with times of refreshment and resuscitation. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. Here's the idea of relaxing and refreshment. Resuscitation. He now, you see, is saying, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not lack. And now he goes into individual aspects of what that means. Rest, refreshment, peace, resuscitation, strength in all of his ways of life. Now, as I am saying this, I have some pause because I think that, well, some of my days seem pretty restless. Some of my days seem to be kind of tragic. Some of my days seem to be hard to deal with. And that's true. And that's life. But what do? We go to David's psalm. We go to David, the great man after God's own heart, and we say, yes, this is true. There is this deeper peace. There is this deeper quiet waters where the sheep drink, and because they're afraid to drink from the flowing waters, you see. And the Lord knows the needs there. And we have, as a result of this, a restoration, verse 3, of our soul. And this could also be translated life. Soul, life, spirit, it's all the same Hebrew word. And he's saying, now because of these things, I am renewed. I am renewed from day to day. And I have the joy that Peter talks about in 1 Peter chapter 1. A joy that's it's unspeakable and it's full of glory. David is expressing this here. My life is restored. My life is renewed. Now, he also says in verse 3, another concept that is great to think about, he guides me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Let's talk about this. What does that mean? Well, the picture here, of course, is of a sheep walk in his mind, where sheep just keep going over the same path, just like boys and girls taking a shortcut from school to home. They hit a path through the field, and you see there's the track. Or another aspect would be like wagon wheels, or going back an old dirt driveway to a farmhouse where you have the two ruts and the hump in the middle. Remember that? And you go in there with your car and you scrape the bottom. Well, you see, that's the picture here that David has in mind, that these are the tracks of righteousness. And he says that the Lord takes him, he guides him in these tracks of righteousness. And what are these righteous tracks? These are the commandments of God. That's what they are. He has these commandments of God that the Lord takes him in and keeps him in those ways. And that's the excitement of being one of the sheep. We hear his voice, And we listen to that voice, and we follow that voice. I mean, that's in the tracks of righteousness. Because we love the shepherd. And we know the shepherd. He knows us. And David says, I'm walking in these tracks. You guide me in these path, these tracks of righteousness. These paths that lead into a godly lifestyle. And David loves this. This is great stuff. And why does God do this? Well, the next phrase, it's for his own name's sake. It's for the sake of God. Wow. David had the first catechism question right. Somebody put that into words later on in life. These guys that are called reformers, I guess, you know, that try to synthesize the scriptures and help us to get it down. The man's chief end is to glorify God. How do you glorify God? By keeping his commandments. Is that too hard? Is that too complicated? Do we have to kind of massage that to death and make it something else? Because somebody talks a little bit about observing the commandments of the scriptures, about thinking about the moral law of God. Oh, now you are becoming somewhat maybe righteously trying to work your way to God? No, no. If you know the shepherd, you want to keep his commandments. See? It's a no-brainer. David says that he guides him in the tracks of righteousness. The footprints of the flock, if you will. One of the things that's so beautiful about reading church history is that you see those footprints of the flock all through the history of God's people, God's sheep. And we're one of the sheep by his grace. But, getting back to what I was referring to earlier, even though, verse 4, I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Ah, here it comes. David knew a lot of hardship. A lot of hardship. Read about David. A lot of hardship in his family. A lot of difficulty. But he says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, of death-like experiences in my life, death-like experiences of my family, of fear, what will I do? He says that I'll fear no evil. That's no calamity. I'll fear no complication. And again, one could say, well, you know, David didn't have the problems I did. David, you know, he's from a different ilk of people because, you know, he said this and he said, you fear no evil. No, he's a man like you and me. And if you don't believe it, read about David's life. He had a lot of problems, a lot of difficulties. But here he could say in this poetry that he was expressing of the shepherd-sheep relationship, he gets so excited here that he forgot his Hebrew or his English composition and grammar or what have you. He changes the tense, or the person rather, of the word. He was going on the third person, and now he gets so excited that he says, I fear no evil, for you are with me. See, he never talked about the you before. But it's like he's so emotional here that he says, God, you're with me. You're going to stay with me. You're going to stay by me. It's a wonderful faith when the going gets rough. You are with me. Why? Because your rod and your staff, the rod was that billy club-like thing that would use to protect the sheep, and the staff was the famous crook that would guide the sheep. So there's protection here. There's guidance here from God, from his shepherd, from his Lord, from Messiah. And he says that these things, they will shepherd me. They were the rod and your staff, they comfort me. We have the Word of God as our great book of counsel. We have the assurance that God is with us. Jesus said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. And so often we just hear those words and we preach those words, but do we really mean that? Or is it oftentimes we just rush off to do the worldly thing, and it'll be corrected. Recently, I prayed with someone who was undergoing a surgical procedure, and I was saying, you know, in my prayer that about trusting God. And after I was finished, this person said, and again, I understand, but this person said, well, you know, I'm really trusting the surgeon. It's almost like it made me think. I think we do almost trust the surgery procedures more, and the skill of the surgeon and all of the wisdom of medical technology. We trust that more than we do God. And so we say a little prayer to cover it, but really we're trusting in man. That's not what David had in mind here. And so we need to realize that as we pray, that God controls that surgeon. God controls all things. And so David could say, I'll fear no evil. I'll fear no calamity. Because whatever happens, happens. And that's in the hands of God. He's a good shepherd. He will take care of me, whatever it is. What David is saying here, because your rod of protection, your staff of guidance, they will comfort me. You are with me. It's like a child that's in a storm. A child could be in a terrible storm of life. A small child, but if that child's in the bosom of her mother, or behind the strong arms of her father, that child will be as peacefully even sleeping, maybe, because this child knows that she or he is well taken care of. My friends, you're in the hands of God as a sheep. God will take care of you. Jesus died for you. Jesus lives for you. Jesus is coming again for you. It's all in his well-being for you and me. That's what David had in mind here. David, thank you for this. Because you see, David experienced this, and he is relating the things that he could relate to as a shepherd. And he knew what God was like. And he is now helping us to know God better through the Messiah, the Lord, Jesus Christ, our Savior. In closing, I'd like you to turn to Isaiah 40. This is a kind of a beautiful way of closing out the thoughts this morning. Here, you know, this is about the coming of Isaiah 40, if you think about your Bible, is the promise of the coming of Messiah and of John's work, and as preparing the way for Jesus. Verse 6 of 40 says, a voice says, call out. Then he answered, what shall I call? Verse 6 of chapter 40. All flesh is grass, and all its loveliness is like the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades when the breath of the Lord blows upon it. Surely, the people are grass. The grass withers, the flower fades. But the word of our God stands forever. Now here's the evangel, my friends. Verse 9. Get yourself up on a high mountain, O Zion, bearer of good news. Lift up your voice mightily, O Jerusalem, bearer of good news. Lift it up. Do not fear. Say to the cities of Judah, here is your God. Behold, the Lord God will come with might, with his arm ruling for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his recompense before him. And that's a charge coming in the evangel message of repentance, of fleeing the wrath to come, if you will. But in the midst of that, verse 11, like a shepherd, he will tend his flock. In his arm, he will gather the lambs and carry them in his bosom. He will gently lead the nursing ewes. Let's pray. Lord, we're thankful.